Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name's Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith.
And we are joined by the illustrious...
The same height as me person.
The magniferous...
The
Wisconsinian. We just listened to the first minute of the podcast that we did with Catherine Duffy.
Hello.
So, fun fact about our podcast and Catherine Duffy. When we first found our audio setup in my mom's attic, which is our, like, origin story. It's like Peter Parker getting bit by a radioactive spider. We found microphones in my mom's attic and our narcissists. So,
So we started a podcast.
And Catherine was our...
Happened to be there.
Yeah. And so we
decided... I happened to be there. And I happened to be fantastic. To have had a glass of wine. Yeah. I was into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we interviewed her, and she turned out to be our first two episodes. Because we talked to you for so long that we had to split it over two episodes.
Yep.
Which was awesome.
May everyone be that lucky.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The timing of this conversation is actually amazing because you are our first episode and this is our 101st episode now.
Yeah. So it's just, 201, 301,
yeah.
1,001, 1,001,001.
I am so proud of all of the work that both of you have done. It's been very exciting and I feel like you've been putting out a lot of content, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, what was crazy is that after we talked to you, that was in May, I think, and then we didn't do anything again until February.
Yeah. Until we did February 13th, we interviewed Emily Cox.
Okay. Well, it took some time to percolate. You needed to know what direction you needed to go.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it was amazing to me that because we listened to the first minute of it and it hasn't changed too much.
Yeah.
I think the way we interviewed you was a little different, but like
it was a little looser.
Yeah.
We were freeform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you are currently at Peninsula Players.
Peninsula Players, and I have the program in front of me to remind myself it's America's oldest professional resident summer theater.
Cool.
Nailed it.
Nice.
That's
awesome.
That's a thick... If you heard that at home, that was the smacking of a, like, probably 100-page program, maybe?
Oh, I don't know. Like, they'd have a lot of ads in it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Peninsula Players does 5 shows every season, and I'm very lucky to be in 2 of them.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about it, and so you've been coming up to Door County now for 4 years.
Yes, so this will be my 4th season. I started in 2013. That checks out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think.
17, 16.
What was...
15, 14. 2014.
Okay. That makes more sense.
That makes way more sense, because I...
Because 14, 15, 16, math. 17. Yeah.
2014, and I was in a production of Private Lives at Third Avenue Playhouse. And I think, Maureen, you saw that, right?
I came and saw that.
Yeah.
And that was the night that we drank way too much at Brick Lot.
Well, we played Bar Dice.
We did play Bar Dice.
Yeah, and in Door County, they're very generous with Bar Dice. They let you win all the time.
Yeah.
but, yes.
Oh, wait, can y'all explain Bar Dice? Because this is a Wisconsin thing, isn't it?
It is a Wisconsin thing. It's a dice game that you play with a bartender. And I actually haven't played it in a very long time because I've been living in Chicago, but it's 2 dice, right?
It's 5 dice.
Oh, gosh, 50, okay.
Because 50, because 56.
Take away my Wisconsin card.
Because 56 all day is
56
the best.
56 all day, yeah. Yes. Because you're trying to get, right, it's 5 dice because you're trying to get 5 sixes. It's, mm-hmm. 56 is the highest thing you can get, but ones are wild. So if you get like a 6 and 4 other ones, you still have a 56, because you can say that they're the same as the 6. Do you know what I mean?
So, it's a 56, because there are 5 sixes. So, if you get 2 six, then you get a 26.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Yeah. So 4 sixes is a 46.
I think you have to be, like, at least 2 drinks in to sort of lean into the rules of it.
Okay, they yeah. don't and make so that what much happens? Sense.
If you win a shot.
Yeah. Well, if you...
Oh!
You have to buy the shots if you're the... There's a kind of an elimination round.
Yeah.
So if I were to get a 56 and the Maureen and the bartender each got, like, I don't know, 26 or something, then I would be out and you guys would continue to play. I don't know. I feel like...
So you don't want a 56?
You do want a 56. You want the highest amount of points.
Basically, you go into it knowing that you're going to take a shot.
You do.
Yeah, but...
But it's just a matter of does the bartender pay for it or do you?
Or do you, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, so, going back to my theater career...
Wait, you don't want
to
talk
about...
No, let's
go back to drinking.
You don't want to talk about bar games the whole time?
I mean, we can.
No, but... No, it's fine. No, we'll talk about your career or whatever. We'll talk about your artistry.
Oh, fine. Do you want to know more about Bardice?
No.
No. So, tell us about which two shows are you in here at Peninsula Players?
Right. At Peninsula Players, I am in The Bridges of Madison County, which is running now. We just opened. And then I am in Lord Arthur Seville's Crime, which we started rehearsals for the day after we opened Bridges of Madison County. So, it's a repertory company here at Peninsula Players, but it's not... it's not like we have a bunch of shows open at the same time. Mm. It's kind of rolling rep. So we open a show, start rehearsals for the next one, and then, you know...
Close the show,
close
start
the show,
the run.
And then start the run of that.
Gotcha. Yeah. And how many shows over the course of the season?
5.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so last year was the first time you did Peninsula Players.
Yes. I was in The Hollow and then The Full Monty last year.
Cool. And last we talked to you, you were 3 days from... Did we touch on this during the...
I don't think so.
So the last time we talked to you, you were 3 days...
I was very anxious about beginning at Peninsula Players.
Yes.
Because Third Avenue Playhouse is a lovely, smaller theater in Sturgeon Bay. And I've worked there. I've done 6 shows there.
And they, like, tailored their summer season to you one summer.
I was their artist in residence.
Yeah.
So, I spent the entire summer there and did their whole season, which was very cool. But I had never, when we last talked on the podcast, I had never worked at Peninsula Players before. And Peninsula Players is something of an institution. Like, I gave Maureen and Daniel the tour. All of the actors live on property, in cabins, and we eat all of our meals together, and there's the cooks, Deb and Shirley, cook for us, and the theater is gorgeous and outdoor. It's quite a thing.
Yeah.
So I was super nervous, and I think it was my first Equity theater that I had worked at that wasn't, like, an apprenticeship or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, but now I'm... 3 shows deep.
So, has that anxiety gone away?
No. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful? I was like, yes, it's all great all the time. I think, you know, as an actor, since you're always sort of a freelancer, mm-hmm. you always are focused on what is happening presently, so what you're doing in rehearsals and what you're doing in performance. But then you're always thinking ahead to, like, what's the next job? What's the next thing that I'm going to do? So I think that's something that I've been struggling with at Peninsula Players, is being so very thrilled to be here and, in performances and in rehearsals for 2 shows, but also to be like, what am I going to do next? You know? So figuring out how to balance those 2 things, I think, is difficult.
It's hard when you're like, yeah, that lifestyle, it's really hard to live in the moment.
Sure. I'm doing a pretty good job right now. Mm-hmm. I think once Bridges closes and Lord Arthur starts, I'll be like, oh, shoot. I have a 3-week run of this show, and then I gotta get back to the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So then how long, like, let's say that you're in all 5 shows.
Uh-huh.
How long are you up here?
Yeah, Matt... who you guys met tonight.
Yeah, that we played that amazing game with.
Yes. he was in the first 2 shows and is in the last 2 shows. He's not in Bridges, so mm-hmm. he's in rehearsals right now for Lord Arthur Seville. So he got up here, like, middle of May, I want to say, and then is here through the middle of October. So that's a quite...
Oh my God!
Quite a long stretch, yeah. Because the fall show is kind of a great contract to get because it runs longer than the other ones.
Ah.
Yeah, so it runs for 6 weeks.
Wow.
Because Almost Maine, which is that one, yeah, it runs September 6th through October 15th.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's... I guess I kind of did that when I was at TAP. And you kind of see Door County at the beginning of the summer, and then you see it into the fall when the colors change, so that's very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
But then you have a lot of days free that you're not always exactly sure what to do with.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to do up here, but there's only so much to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
And especially in the fall.
You know, in the fall there's still plenty to do, because, I mean, that's like prime time to go on runs and bike rides and the parks and everything like that.
What does a fish boil entail?
Don't get me started on fish boils. They are nonsense.
Why?
Because it's a Door County tradition, and I just get mad about it. Because it's not good. Like, it's like boiled fish. And it's like, oh, let's all watch this fish boil and then eat it. And it's like, it's not good. It's like, that's what fishermen ate in, you know, old beginnings of Door County because they didn't have anything else to eat. And now we're like, oh, let's all do it. And it's like, come on.
And it's like $20 a head, I saw.
Yeah, no, it's not worth it.
Yeah. To like, I have, but you watch them, I saw the pictures, they like...
Yeah, they look kind of cool. There's so many things in Door County. I feel like a very strange, I'm certainly not a local, like I'm not someone who lives here year-round, but I also feel like I'm in a different place than a tourist, because I live here and work here for extended periods of time. So there's things in Door County where I'm like, yes, that's cool, I love that small business, who is... very much contributing to the community.
Mm-hmm. Bearded Heart.
Bearded Heart is a cool little...
I still have their sticker on the back of my computer.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Shout out to Bearded Heart. I hope that, like, no fish boil people get unnaturally upset. But, like, if you're gonna eat fish...
Naturally upset's one thing.
Yeah. Naturally upset is another. But, like,
we get a lot of fishermen listening to our show, so...
But it's sort of just, like, go to a fish fry. You know what I mean? Like... Eat fish that tastes good.
I love a good fish fry. That is something that I so severely, like, with every fiber of my being, miss about living in Wisconsin. Mm.
And I don't really think I ever ate... I never went to fish fries when I lived to Wisconsin. It was something that, like, I came back and was like, oh, this feels Wisconsin-y.
When I went to... when I went to college, I,
yeah, you can hear the background.
So, next door, there's like sound bleeding over from the cabin next door. When I went to school in Baltimore, I remember just like so intensely missing fish fry, like Friday night fish fries.
Well, you were didn't they have that at like Pius and Catholics always had fish fry, right?
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Yeah, Catholics did always have fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, tell us about what's going on. The stuff conceptually here, is there, like, any... Is it pretty much, like, out of the book? Or, like... Or is there any, like, bridges of Madison County in space?
You know, I think this production of Bridges of Madison County was very cool. And I think it was directed in a way that I wasn't totally expecting, given that a lot of the stuff that I think Peninsula Players does is pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But our director, Elizabeth Margulies, was really interested in kind of treating Bridges of Madison County as a memory play.
Okay.
Because it is kind of the story of a woman, and in the book and in the movie, it sort of begins in, like, after she's dead, and then kind of it's her remembering this encounter she had with a photographer from the National Geographic. And in service of that, there's really no set in our play. It's just this kind of very gorgeous three levels, and the lighting kind of gives location a lot of the time. And then there are very limited props. So only prop... There were like a lot of... There were sort of rules with the props, that everything that Robert, who is her... who is the man that she has an affair with, all of his props are real. And sort of all of the props that are actually seen and handled by people are things that are important.
Mm.
So
like
important, like the things that you would remember. Exactly.
But you wouldn't remember whether, you know, Dolores got a ham sandwich or a turkey sandwich.
Right.
Yeah.
So the, I think maybe there are, I want to say 12 props in the show, and everything else is just kind of suggested. Yeah. So I was so, when we came in to rehearsal the first day, I was like very excited by that because, it sort of kind of got to the heart of what I think could be the problem with Bridges of Madison County is that it lags. And I think it lags sometimes, like the show can lag sometimes because there needs to be change in location, there need, you know, da 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 da. And then also all of the props are sort of brought in either by the set pieces or by members of the cast. And that sort of always indicates that that a community is looking in on this happening. So this woman who has to choose between this man that she feels an intense connection with, but also what does her community and her family and her husband deserve, sort of thing. So I hope that I explained it well.
Yeah.
I hope that I did a service to Elizabeth and her vision.
Well, and then what is your role in this, in this story?
I'm Carolyn, so I am her daughter. So I am going to the Indiana State Fair in hopes that my steer, Stevie, will be named Steer of the Year. So you kind of, and I think you kind of see this family on a very specific day. So you see it when both of the kids are teenagers and maybe like the worst. And I sort of think of you and Patrick when I play this. Not because you guys were the worst, but because you were close in age. So, like, my sister and I were never, like, teenagers at the same time.
So, do you model...
It's like me and my sister.
Do you model your character as
after Patrick.
Really?
No.
Good. And then you tell the person who plays your younger sibling, like, you have to be, like,
boring. I play the younger sibling.
So. Oh, so you're me.
I'm you, yeah.
Yes.
What yes. about it... What do you do that's Maureen?
I think I only mentioned that because they were both teenagers at the same time. Yeah.
No.
You didn't shave your head or anything?
No, but Maureen looked so cute with his shaved head. I think that needs to be said and recorded.
Yeah.
And then also she just had the best Halloween costume.
Yeah,
weren't
I was the
Dalai Lama?
I was the Dalai Lama that year for Halloween. It was
good.
It was pretty fucking great.
It was amazing.
Did I win the costume contest?
If you didn't, it was... A travesty. Yeah, I don't know who booked everything against you.
Yeah.
Are there other things that you may think are flaws with, like, the book or the plot or the anything of Bridges of Madison County that you think this production tackles really well?
Oh, that it solves? I think it's difficult, because you're being asked to root for an affair, which, do you know what I mean? Like, in order to kind of really be keyed into this play, you sort of have to be like, oh, I'm sort of rooting for these two people, one of whom is married and the other whom is kind of essentially married to his work, I feel like. But I think that what maybe solves the problems of the book, which I don't particularly care for, is the music of the piece. I think the music is very beautiful, and I think that Jason Robert Brown does a very good job of expressing character through his music. Mm. So Francesca's songs sound very different from Robert's. The family has a very specific sound. And I also am very excited by how in the show, songs kind of come from an environment where song would normally come from. So, like, there's a song on the radio, and there's a song... Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, the radio is sort of a thing that is used.
Like, it's not a thing of that things stop and then music happens all of a sudden. It's, like, an actual organic
flow. And I think a lot of the songs come from there being a convention of, like, oh, at the state fair, there would be a country singer there.
Right.
So there's, like, those things, and, like, Bud, who is her husband, sings a song at a bar, and I sort of just imagine that being, like, the music that's on... the jukebox at that time. And then so there's that kind of those songs, and then there's Robert and Francesca songs, which are kind of operatic, like beautiful love songs that are sort of inspired by that. So I think that's really cool, and sort of the convention of that and how that all fits together is is something that elevates perhaps what is not bad, but kind of middle of the road material. No offense to the author of Bridges of Madison County. He made a lot of money off of that book.
Is it celebrated as like a cornerstone of American literature?
I think it's celebrated as a cornerstone of pop American literature. Like, oh gosh, the Da Vinci Code, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, the mom and my ba-da-da told me to read this.
I feel like the Great Gatsby during its time was that. Or like,
wasn't the Great Gatsby not very popular during its time?
That sounds accurate to me because it's one of the only books that he wrote.
Yeah, I don't think The Great Gatsby was very popular, and I think I read an article about this, which is the only reason I'm challenging you on it.
He wrote some other stuff.
He did. He wrote The Beautiful and the Damned.
And he wrote Tender as the Night.
Well, that's what I mean. There was only a couple.
He wrote a bunch of short stories, one of the reasons
that it was popular is because it was issued as an army book.
East of Eden?
That's Steinbeck.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, yeah, you're right.
You're welcome.
Well, and then, like, he was pals with Hemingway, and Hemingway wrote so many books. Not so many, but...
Enough.
Yeah.
He wrote enough.
But all that to say that I don't think Bridges of Madison County is the Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Bold stance, Catherine.
Sorry.
So I have a question about your experiences with a more kind of, like, the more traditional model of a theater where auditions are held for every show versus the repertory model.
Oh, I don't envy Greg, who's the artistic director. He casts the shows every year, and it's such a difficult thing because he's trying to figure out housing, so how he's going to house all these actors, and he's trying to figure out how they fit into slots in 5 different shows.
Mm.
You know, so it's like, it's not only like who is going to be the perfect person to be in this role in show one, it's like who's going to be the perfect person that we can have in show one that could also play this part in show two and it could maybe do a part in show four. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and unlike maybe other things that you're auditioning for, being versatile is really important. So being able to do musical theater as well as other things is something that's like, oh, we'll use you more. I think it's unofficial at Peninsula Players, but they certainly have people that are part of their company, and they try to use as much as they can. And it does sort of feel like an extended family reunion every day. when new people come, like, they're not even new, but when people show up for the next crop of rehearsals to start, it's like, oh, these people know these people from the show that they did, and a lot of actors bring kids, and you know, there's a gang of kids running around who've all grown up together. It's kind of cool.
I was gonna ask, amongst the Door County theater companies, I guess, how much crossover is there? A lot, or
there's not a huge amount of crossover. I think mostly because there's certainly people who have worked at all of the theaters,
right?
But it seems like Peninsula Players mostly casts out of Chicago, and I think Door Shakes casts maybe sort of half and half out of Milwaukee and Chicago, and then Northern Sky casts mostly out of Milwaukee, and then Tap also mostly out of Milwaukee. But I think what's really cool about all of the theaters in Door County is they all have a very specific sort of brand, which kind of lends themselves to hiring a very specific kind of actor. Mm. And then also just kind of creates opportunities for people who are vacationing up here for like a week to see 4 very different kinds of shows.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you've worked with Third Avenue Playhouse, TAP, and now you've worked with
Peninsula Players. Do you think I should go for number 3 and 4?
Yes. Yes. You have to do EGOT of Door County.
Is this game plan?
Yeah.
How are we going to get me in?
Yeah. I'm wondering if you could talk about the differences in experiences between the two companies now that you've had two summers each?
Right. I think this is going to sound silly, but I think the biggest difference to me is, such a long pause. The social aspects of the theater, I think. Mm-hmm. Because TAP has such a small staff and also does very, very small shows, that you sort of you're so busy because you're doing like a rehearsal and a show, and you don't really have that much time to socialize. But, you know, you kind of have the staff and maybe two interns and maybe the rest of your show, which is maybe like another person because you're doing a two-hander.
Yeah.
So that's like not that many people. And if you're in Sturgeon Bay, like, I didn't have any, like, friends in Sturgeon Bay when mm-hmm. I was doing Private Lives. But at Peninsula Players, it's, like, an enormous sort of community of people. So you have all of the people in your show. You have, full-time staff. And then you have seasonal staff who are here. You have carpenters. You have props people. You have the costume shop. You know what I mean? So there's always someone to be with and to get into shenanigans with. So I think it's... artistically, I found them to be very similar, you know, mm-hmm. very, very high standards and directors who were working really hard to service the text. But it's just that there's more people in a condensed space at Peninsula Players, which maybe towards the end of the season, you can be like, oh gosh, I have to have a kale salad again. Surely you're mm-hmm. killing me.
At TAP, was it a more personal experience versus at Peninsula Players?
No, I think very much the same.
Cool.
Yeah, somehow, even though there are a lot of people at Peninsula Players, it manages to be very personal because you're spending all the time together. So you're eating meals together, you know?
Yeah, and you're like, the intimacy is still very much there. I mean, like, we've already had like 3 or 4 times where... like, you can hear people you can hear when people are coming. And you were talking about how, just by the nature of where your cabin is specifically, when people leave the shows...
I can hear the interns, the dear sweet interns, park everyone before the shows.
Oh, okay.
So I can hear them barking orders at the patrons, pulling into their spots.
Do they have the interns valet?
They don't drive, but they direct the people how to park. So it makes it easier for them to leave.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But there's a very wonderful spirit in this community, and it lends itself to a lot of competitive games. So you even saw it tonight when we were playing our game at Door County Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah. No, all right, so the game was called Suspend.
And everyone's getting it for Christmas.
Everyone is. And then there is a game that was made up at Peninsula Players called Pith, which is Put It in the Hole. And it's like a wooden spool down at the bay, and you have to throw rocks into it, and there's a tournament every year.
Oh.
Last year I was the runner-up, and they have the final round is at night on the bay at night during bar night, which is every Saturday. They keep the bar open and have a bonfire after the show, and they set up lights. And, like, there's an American flag, and we sing the national anthem. But it's this game that was made up by Jim Rank, Jesse Mueller, who's a Tony Award winner.
Yeah.
And Andrew Peltz, I think? I hope I'm giving credit to the right people. But it's, like, you have to throw it in the hole, and you have to get to 11, and you have to rotate every time you hit 3. Like, it's kind of... it's an amazing game, and, like... it's like a week-long tournament, and it gets very heated. People have costumes. So, yeah.
People have costumes?
People have costumes. There were the Pithosauruses this year, where they had, like, dinosaur onesies. Dean and Kyle ordered their own shirts, and were all in purple. I mean, some of the purists of the game don't really appreciate it being turned into a pageant. you can go into the lodge and see the 3-page... rule manual that Jim Rank wrote. Pith is a game for gentlemen and ladies. So.
That's crazy.
It's insane. Well, but I think, you know, it's funny because I think actors are really competitive, but not always athletic.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting, you know what I mean? Once you can find those games that, like, let actors be just, like, the super competitive and very right. smart animals that they are, without a lot of athleticism.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Less sprinting, yeah. more
but we have,
balancing
like,
a thing on a...
More shit-talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have, like, very intense volleyball games when we go to the beach. And then Christmas in July is a big thing at Peninsula Players.
I saw that. Yeah. Catherine is an avid Instagrammer.
Yeah, watch my Insta stories. They are on fire lately.
Yeah. What's your... I know that we usually save this for the end, but what's your Instagram?
Kath Duff. KathDuff.
Catherine's real good at Instagram.
Not so much, I think, actual Instagram feed, but
Insta stories
are my where I shine.
Did yeah. you ever get into Snapchat, or did you go straight to
no,
Insta story?
You know what? I know where I belong.
Right. What about Snapchat? Do you feel you not
I
belong?
Literally go on the app, and I just don't understand how to work it, which makes me feel so old, and then I, like, shed a tear for my youth and then move on.
My big thing with Snapchat, and I'm finding the same thing with Instagram stories, is that in the moment, I never think to make a story out of it. And part of it is that I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. Like, when I you know, take a picture for Instagram, I'm, like, very much. I'm, like, editing it.
Yeah.
I take, like, 10 photos and then pick my favorite, and then it's very...
And it doesn't lend... That mindset does not lend itself well to an Insta story where it's, like... And also, I'm not... At the same time, like, I know I... You know, I'm talking as if I'm this, like, amazing artist, but there is an art to the boomerang.
And I think boomerang flourishes on Insta stories.
Yeah, you're really good at boomerang.
I don't actually think I am. I don't think that's one of my skills.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm seeing it from a perspective of you're better at it than I am.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it's a...
But my Insta story during Christmas in July was on fire.
Was fire.
Because there's so many shenanigans that happen. Because everybody has a secret Santa. And sort of the premise is that you have to do a shenanigan to receive your gift every day. So people at lunch or at dinner will have to, like, sing a song or do... Harder had to do, like, the Jack Black School of Rock monologue where he's talking to the kids and he's telling, like, where everything should go. What else happened? I don't know. I had to lead a pretend soul cycle class.
How are the... shenanigans determined?
Your secret Santa, like, lets you know what you need to do in order to receive your gift. Yeah. And then we have a, like, Christmas Eve dinner, and then we have a Christmas dinner, and we have a Christmas party on the Sunday, and we sing the Peninsula Players song.
What is that Peninsula Players song?
Peninsula Players. I can't remember it. Every year we sing it and it's like this weird thing comes over here. We're like, I totally know this song and I've never heard it before. But if I had to sing right now, I could not. It's like, it's something about, like, my home down by the bay. It's very sweet.
All right, I have another question that is not helpful to the people that are listening to the podcast. Did you bring these paintings with you?
I did. I actually did. So this one behind me is a self-portrait that I did in fourth grade. which I kind of love. And then the one above my bed was given to me by a former boyfriend. And I sort of wanted to burn it when we broke up, but it's so nice. And it actually was given to me in sort of like a, like, we were at a wine bar and we got the bill. And usually we went to this wine bar when it was half price.
Yeah.
And we made the mistake of going on, like, a Saturday instead of a Sunday, so everything was full price. So, like, I saw the bill and was like, oh, no. And I remember seeing how much mine was, and I was like, oh, I could buy that piece of art that I really wanted to get. And he was like, I'll get it for you. And then he just bought me this, like, lovely painting. So I can't... It's, like, one of the nicest things that anyone's ever done for me. So I, like, maybe should have burned it, and maybe should have gotten rid of it, but have yet to. Because I really like it.
Yeah. I think it's important as we, you know, move through relationships that once they're over, I mean, we can acknowledge the end of a relationship as terrible. And, like, the steps that moved toward the end as traumatizing and horrible. But, you know, I think that there's something to looking back on the reasons why you were in it.
Yeah.
And, like...
To not think that, like, oh, gosh, maybe I was just in a daze for a very long time.
Yeah. No, I think it's... legitimately, I think it's nice that you kept it, because... Aww. Yeah.
Well, because I actually always... because I move around a lot and have to, like, go and live... A lot of times I'm housed by the theaters where I work. And I do... One of the first things I always do whenever I move is put that painting up. Because it just sort of, like, grounds me.
Yeah. I think that's really important is... I feel like we've talked about this on the show, in fact, is, like, this idea of, like, building temporary comforts.
Yeah. No, I did a... I kind of... I mean, it's... My apartment is... embarrassingly messy right now, but I did do a whole like trip to Target and swagged it out.
Did you wait a minute, this place?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's nice.
Were you gonna ask if she sublet her apartment in Chicago?
Well, because I know
I have. Yeah.
Are you staying there?
I am staying there for sure through the beginning of October.
So how has that process been? Because now you've been here every summer,
mm-hmm.
and you also moved to Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and so basically you're in Chicago 6 to 8 months or something like that out of the year, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I have not actually, I think, fully hit a full year in Chicago yet, considering how much work I've done out of the city.
Yeah, I mean, what does that feel like? I mean...
It feels like I haven't been able to get a total handle on... Because it, you know, it sort of feels like it's my Door County senior year. Like, I've worked my way up, and this is senior year, and I totally kind of have a handle on what this means. But it certainly has just been a Chicago freshman year. And I, especially since, like, sometimes you get to senior year and everything makes sense and you feel so good about it, that you sometimes just can forget what freshman year feels like, which is...
Yeah.
What do I do? Who are my friends? Where do I work?
Yeah.
So I think I just have to be comfortable right now in knowing that I just haven't spent enough time in Chicago for it to be an upperclassman yet.
Chicago is also, like, such an interesting beast from... And I mean, I think our insight into what the theater scene in Chicago looks like is very unique, because most of the theater people we've met are, like, DIY Chicago folks, or like, or like extremely queer, radical,
or people who went to college there.
Yeah, and that's a big difference. I think people who went to college there have a better, I mean, they've had 4 years to sort of maybe not be within it, but to understand it from the outside.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think especially considering where I am, I'm almost about to turn equity, and I have a certain kind of theater that I like to do, and I'm less interested in smaller storefront things as I am in bigger houses, but I know that there's, you know, there's ways that you do work, and then that begets more work and all that.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just coming at it from a different place, and everyone has a different journey, so.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, I think that you've had such success in the way that you've done it, even though it might not be, like...
I've hacked it.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I mean, I think that what's cool is that you identified that a company that you wanted to work with casts out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So you placed yourself in the place...
Where I needed to be.
Where you needed to be to get where you wanted to go.
And, you know, and I have to... Like, Maureen and I went and saw Brigadoon, I think the summer after I finished at the Rep, maybe?
I think so. Yeah.
And I think I just remember... Or maybe it was right before I started at the Rep. I think that feels... That sounds right.
I had normal hair. And so I think that it was...
I think it was right before I started at the Rep.
Yeah.
But I remember going to see Brigadoon at the Goodman and seeing it and being like, nope, that's what I want to do. I want to be in a place where they're producing musical theater like this, and that's what I want.
You were still working in the Rep box office.
I was
still, because you were like... This box office runs so well.
Oh my gosh, the box. I'm always, anytime I go to the Goodman, I'm very impressed by their front of house staff. I'm always like, oh God, they got it figured out, man.
Because their website is very user-friendly.
It is very user-friendly, and also on an iPhone, which I think sometimes a website can be really good, but if it doesn't work on a phone where most people are trying to buy tickets last minute, sort of like, this doesn't matter.
Like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
feel about Scoppy? Let me turn the tables. What are you excited that's going to be coming up down the road?
Well, we just finished... We, like, ended early this Blitzkrieg performance series we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a 2-month performance series that was going to be 3 months.
But then I... it was too much.
Exhaustion.
But you guys are kind of finding... You're finding what works and what's a good balance for what
that
you need
to be. That, I think, is what we are really excited about, is that we've found what works and what doesn't. And mm-hmm. I mean, like, we've hit 100 episodes of the podcast. I mean, we have done 12, produced, like, 12 performances and found out what our audience really likes and kind of what we're able to do.
And also the frequency with which we can get butts in seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think you guys were doing Tuesdays and Thursdays for a little while there. Yeah. I can't even... get out of my house 2 days a week. You know?
That's the thing. And I mean, like, we thought, like, oh, they're free. But also, one was in Pilsen. The other was in Rogers Park.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it was just, like, two neighborhoods that are tough to get to. So I think that, yeah, I think that what we learned is that we either need to do the amount that we were doing, but in places that are very easy to get to,
mm-hmm.
or we do infrequent performances, which would make it okay to put performances in Pilsen or Rogers Park.
I also think if we had a bigger reach, like, the thing mm-hmm. is, we have right now, like, this is a weird metric, but we have, like, 630 likes on Facebook.
And so no, I feel like that's like actually... 650.
Yeah, something like that. But my point being here is that, like, to expect 20 or 30 people to come to two nights a week, and not necessarily the same 20 or 30 people, but that quantity.
That's just a big ask.
It's unrealistic. Unrealistic.
Yeah. Unrealistic.
Yeah. It's just unrealistic. And so, I think, you know, in a year, when mm-hmm. our reach was different, and maybe that's something that we could do, mm-hmm. I think it'd be a different monster. And on top of that...
We would also need more help.
That's what I was going to say, is that... Sorry. I think the three things that we're really excited about and hoping for is a bigger staff.
A bigger staff.
Yeah.
You guys are a staff.
Being able to compensate staff would be a big deal.
Gotcha.
Having a writing staff specifically would be really helpful so that we could actually have steady articles coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Because those are the roots... Mm-hmm. Scoppy is the publishing of articles.
And the other thing that we're really excited about is figuring out what an artistry co-op model would look like, which is what we've been working on, because we, like, maybe the nonprofit route is something we'd consider. We're not going to be a private corporation. That's not really something we, like, believe in.
Like, we're not going to be an LLC.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's just not something that, like, it's not. We're not doing this to, like, get rich. Like, and we're also looking to sustain
weird.
Our life.
I thought you were. That's why I agreed to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
That's so uncomfortable.
Well, we're actually thinking about changing what we call people who donate to the show to being, like, owners of the show. The same way that, like, in different neighborhoods you can become, like, a co-op in a grocery store. And you're technically mm-hmm. a part owner of the grocery store, but you're basically buying into getting a discount. And so something we've been working on is, like, getting local entities to donate, like, woodworking or a painting or a gift card to the product or something like that. And that's something that we are giving to either, like, new donors or at some point, or we'll also kind of, like, raffle them off to existing donors.
Oh, cool.
And also, if we can find, like, some sense of a blanket discount for things, like, if, you know, we ended up getting, like, a production outfit or really anything that was like, yeah, we'll give 10% off to all of your donors.
Like, or, like, if we partnered with, like, a grocery store.
Right.
Like, if you shop here and say, and, like, can indicate that you're a Scoppy owner, then you get...
Yeah, and I think something to think about is knowing that theaters and performance venues always want to market their events.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you can say, like, oh, we'll interview and have this content that we're creating that is specifically, you know, aligned with what you are trying to market.
Right.
I think is... exciting. Well,
and we have, there's a theater company that we work with that we have on pretty frequently, and they always reach out to us. They're called Nothing Without a Company.
Oh, cool.
And they're all about, like, site-specific theater, and like, whenever they have a project coming up, they're like, hey, when can we come on and talk about it?
Yeah, so, and so just to expand, get even more companies.
Absolutely. Right.
Then you'll just, like, have too much work.
Yeah. Well, and that's where donors would be really nice, is if we could, like, focus on this full-time and...
Get a space. I mean, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What, you don't like my cabin?
No, I mean, like, I do, but and I think
this
we always...
In. This we're just gonna in. Be... Scoppy is moving to Door County.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we'd love
Catherine
to...
Catherine Duffy's cabin.
Kevin, yeah.
Right. We right. always want to keep it mobile, but I think having a home base that's not our apartment would be nice. Not that I don't... Like, I loved recording in our apartment, but...
I think that, for me... I think that having a space is something that would be cool down the road, but for the time being, I really like how flexible
mm-hmm.
yeah.
having not having a space makes us,
yeah.
and also how low maintenance it yeah. makes everything. Just because we have a hard enough time maintaining our apartment, let alone
maintain
an apartment
another space.
And a space.
Yeah.
That would be a lot.
Oh, I think I probably just got a text about going to the drive-in movie theater.
Ooh my. Well, do we wanna wrap it up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we still have like a couple minutes left of like interview time proper, unless we just wanna. Are there anything else that you think we should be talking about as far as Peninsula Players is concerned?
Or Catherine Duffy.
No, just shine, snowflakes.
Yeah. How worth it is it for people to come up here from Chicago?
Oh, so worth it. I think Bridges of Madison County is really something very special and really cool. And the talent and the people that I get to work with every day are like, they're such stars, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and you can do what we're doing, which is rent a camp space, set up a tent, and then, we checked in already. We set up the tent to make sure the tent works, and then I was afraid that someone was going to steal my tent.
You definitely did not need to be worried that someone was going to steal your tent. There was a bicycle stolen 2 years ago in Fish Creek, because bicycles never get stolen. They usually just, like, hang out alone outside of wherever they are. And there was an uproar. Like, just community pandemonium.
Wow.
So if that indicates... And today I went into... This is like the opposite of a plug. But I went into the Town Hall Bakery in... I want to say Jacksonport? Anyway. But we were on our way to the beach and we were like, oh, that looks cool. Let's go in. All the signs said they were open. There's like a big sandwich board thing that was like, open, open. The door's wide open. We wander in. No one is there. There's food and everything like... And pastries all laid out. Like, we could have literally just taken a bunch of things, just, like, run. No one was there. And we were just like, hello? Silence. And we were like, okay, bye. So.
Yeah, we totally could have
left. I really wouldn't worry about your tent. There were people who left their entire store vacant. And It's kind of nice. You sort of lose your city edge in Door County, but then you have to get it back sort of the moment you cross.
That's something that my mom always talks about, is that whenever she comes down to visit me and she like enters Chicago traffic, whenever my mom comes down and visits me, she is immediately on edge.
Yeah, and it's also just sort of like in Chicago when I'm walking home, I just like have to be on my toes. I have to be like, is anyone following me? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Da-da-da.
And in Door County, it's like, bye.
Yeah. No, when I'm in Chicago and I'm walking by myself at night, I walk in the middle of the street and make myself as conspicuous as possible. Yeah. I did the same thing in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Except that what I would do in Baltimore is I would walk in the middle of the street and sing opera as loudly as I could.
So they'd be like, who's this crazy girl?
Yeah, no one wants to fuck with a crazy
girl. Yeah, and here, usually, it's like, it's 10 feet away from the bonfire to my cabin. We don't really venture off property all that much, so.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Is the drive-in on property?
No, the drive-in is like 15 minutes away? 10, no, that's a lie. Less than 10 minutes away.
Cool. Cool.
Well. Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you guys could come. And yeah. I'm so glad I could be an episode.
Yeah. you're like a lovely, amazing bookend.
Yeah, and you know, you can have me back when I win a Tony Award. Mm-hmm. And we'll check in then.
Yeah, great.
Maybe a Jeff, if we're being a moderate.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you at episode 150, right?
Sounds because good. Because it'll be happening very quickly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because you guys put out a lot of content real quick.
So. That's right. So where can people find what you're up to?
www.kduff.com is my website. And I'm on Instagram at kathduff. And just make sure to like follow those stories. Mm-hmm. See all the boomerangs that Maureen is a fan of.
And
I love the boomerangs.
Why should people come to Peninsula Players?
Guys, let's be real. It is a theater fairyland. you walk on a property, you sit down in a beer garden that is right on the bay, you watch the sunset, you go in and you see a show, you come back out for the bonfire at intermission, you go back in, you see a show, you have a grand old time. Like, gosh, what are you doing with your lives? Get here already.
Well, I don't think that we're going to get a better plug for Peninsula Players than that.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we're up to, you can head over to WhoScopyMag.com. That's our site. You can find all of our articles there. You can also keep up with us on social media. On Facebook, that's Scopy Magazine. On Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr, it's Scopy Mag, SCAPIMAG.
And as always, I'm here to emphasize the importance of donations. We run on a shoestring budget. Everything that we've been able to do up until this point has been through your generosity, but we want to do more. So you should head to our website, scopymag.com. You can go to our About section. If you become a monthly donor or owner, I guess, we will give you a shout out on the show. And if you do a one-time donation, if you consent to us having your home address, we will write you a handwritten thank you note. The other incentive for being a monthly, for being an owner is that, you will be entered into, actually, our current thing is that our next owner at any level, will receive a gift card for a month of free yoga at B Yoga Andersonville.
What?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Maybe I should. Yeah. Maybe I should donate.
Maybe you should be an owner, Catherine. But anyways, yeah, for as little as $5 a month, you could have a month of free yoga at a very fancy yoga studio in Andersonville. So yeah, give a little. Give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.